Please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1237. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And in your Schofield Bible, page 1237. We'll read just this one verse. We'll turn to two other verses and read them. But shall we stand, as is our custom here at First Baptist? And let's read the 15th verse together, please. Ready? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now to Romans 6:23. In your Schofield Bible, page 1199. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And let's read together, please. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now to John 3:16, page 1117 in your Schofield Bible. John 3:16. And let's read. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. And Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Word. We're thankful that we have Bibles that are, of course, Thy Word, Thy very Word. There is no error. It's the truth. It's powerful. It's what we need. And we need it again tonight. We pray that You'd bless the message. We pray for our preacher. We pray that You'd give us a purpose of hearing, that we might listen carefully to what You've prepared through the heart and mind of our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are two types of sermons I preach. One I preach is a sermon I say where we're going somewhere. We get in the car, we have a destination, and we're going somewhere. I preached a sermon like that this morning. Every once in a while, we just get in the car and drive around. And all the sinners like that very, very much. But every once in a while, sometimes we go spend our money, sometimes we just count our riches. And tonight I want to speak to you on that one little line, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. We're going to drive around some tonight and just thank God for His unspeakable gift. Now, I do want you to listen to me. You may not know this, but I prepare my sermons. And my secretary does. But I sometimes, for one little 10-second line, I may spend 15 minutes on that one little 10-second line. And then I say it, and you're asleep. And I want, in the name of Jesus, to break your neck. But I do want you to listen carefully as I speak tonight. Three verses. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, don't forget it, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our Heavenly Father, I come now to the place where I've stood since I was a young man. I come behind this same piece of wood where I've stood since I was 32 years of age. I wonder how many thousands of times I've stood behind this very pulpit. As we have changed buildings, we've overhauled this pulpit and kept the same pulpit. And I want to thank You for the times You've blessed us. Now bless us again tonight, and do Thou work of grace in our hearts, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. That's why in John 3:16 it said, "For God so loved the world." The little word "so" there means it's indescribable. You say to your wife, "I love you so much." That means there's no way to tell her how much you love her. You say that song was so beautiful. That means you have no vocabulary with which to describe the loveliness of the song. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world." How much did God love the world? No way to describe it. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the sky a parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. When God says, or the apostle said, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift," he was saying that there are no ways to describe that wonderful gift of God. Now, the gift that he's talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So Jesus and salvation in, through, and by Him only is the gift that He's spoken about here. The unspeakable gift is Jesus Himself. That means that writers with their pens and quills and scrolls cannot describe His loveliness. That means that orators with their metaphors and similes have exhausted their efforts to adequately portray Him. That means that artists with their brushes are like little children in art class in the first grade in their attempts to describe Him. That means that sculptors with their chisels have felt failure's inadequacy when attempting to chisel His likeness. That means that philosophers with their minds cannot imagine the greatness of our Savior. He's unspeakable. The gift of God, unspeakable. Unspeakable in His power, in that all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Unspeakable in His glory, in that it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. Unspeakable in His perfection, for He is nectar without one drop of gall. He is a garden without a weed. He's a song without disharmony, is our lovely Savior. No quarry furnishes marble white enough to show His purity. No harpist plays well enough to praise Him properly. No frame can fit His picture. No earthly crown can fit His brow. No earthly robe can fit His shoulders, and no earthly scepter can fit His hands. Unspeakable in His perfection. He's unspeakable not only in His power and in His glory and in His perfection, but He is unspeakable in His existence. In that He's very God and very man. Jesus was as much God as if He were not man at all, and as much man as if He were not God at all. He's unspeakable in His existence because He was the begotten of God. He's unspeakable in His existence because He is forever the great unlike. Nobody like Him. Nobody ever was, ever will be like Him. He's unspeakable in His existence because in that He was ages older than the mother who cradled Him near her breast. He is the unsoiled, the unpolluted. He is the unmovable, the unending. He's the unutterable, the unsearchable, the immeasurable, the indescribable, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He is the uncatalogued, the unalterable, the unfathomable, the unabated, the unabridged, the unblemished, the unblameable, the unchanging, and the untarnished Son of God. Unspeakable. You cannot describe Him. Unspeakable. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man. The description of the loveliness of the unspeakable gift of God. He's unspeakable in His life. His lips never uttered what should not have been said. His eyes never saw what they should not have seen. His ears never heard what they should not have heard. His mind never thought what it should not have thought. His heart never felt what it should not have felt. His feet never walked where they should not have walked. His hands never touched what they should not have touched. Away with this heresy
that says Jesus was just a good man. Away with this poppycock that said Jesus was just a prophet like Buddha and Confucius. No, he was the very God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000. He is the perfect one. He is unspeakable in his life. He was snow without soot, fragrance without foulness. He was wisdom without ignorance. He was right without wrong and harmony without discord. He never struck a discordant note. He never made a misstep or was out of cadence. Circumstance never left her fingerprints on him. No critical microscope discovered one flaw in him. Temptation never caused a loosening of one moral fiber. Popularity never made one decision for him. And hostility was never a part of his deliberation. His enemies proclaimed him innocent. His worst foe could find no fault in him. I'm saying he was perfect, unspeakable in his life. Somebody said, some preacher said, who ought to have enough courtesy and respect to get out of the pulpit. He said that he had an affair with Mary Magdalene. He said that he was a result of an affair that Mary had, the blonde German soldier. No. He was the stainless, blameless Son of God who never said what he shouldn't say, never walked where he shouldn't walk, never thought what he shouldn't thought, never took what he shouldn't take, never heard what he shouldn't have heard. The blameless, perfect Son of God. And by the way, if he were not the blameless, perfect Son of God, he would have been a sinner. And my Bible said the wages of sin is death. And that means if Jesus had committed one sin, that means he would have owed the sin debt. And he himself would have had to go to hell and pay his own sin debt. But because he never sinned, he was the Lamb without blemish. He was the perfect one, the unblameable one. He had no sin. And that means he could go to Calvary and pay the penalty for my sin because he had no debt to pay for his own. He was unspeakable in his life. No critiquing telescope can find one spot on the bright and morning star. He was a diamond without pewter, an ocean without dust, a lily without tar, strength without weakness, right without wrong, perfection without a flaw, life without illness. He touched blind eyes and made them see. He touched deaf ears and caused them to hear. He touched dumb tongues and caused them to speak. He touched lame legs and caused them to leap like a hart. He touched confused minds and cleared them. He touched paralysis and made it move. He touched fever and made it cool. He touched palsied hands and made them calm. He touched death and made death live. Ladies and gentlemen, let me stand tonight and say, I have no patience whatsoever with any preacher or church or denomination or seminary or Bible teacher who says there was one flaw in my Savior. He's the unspeakable one. And by the way, don't expect me to sit across the table at some ministerial association from somebody that says my Savior was an imposter and he was not perfect. You don't believe that Jesus is perfect? Get out of the pulpit and make an honest living. Unspeakable in his power. Unspeakable in his existence. Unspeakable in his might. And hallelujah, unspeakable in his life. That isn't all. He was unspeakable in his birth. Angelic choirs sang to shepherds, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The star in the east used a baton of light to lead the orchestra and choirs of heaven to announce the coming of the Christ child. Shepherds left their flocks and rushed to the manger of Bethlehem to worship him. And the same light, the same star, that was the baton of light, that same star escorted three wise men from the east who came to worship him and bring him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He undressed himself of his glory and came to earth. He gave his brightness to the sun. He gave his azure mantle to the sky and gave his jewels to the stars. And dressed himself in swaddling clothes and fled as a boy to a manger and became as one of us for 33 years. Unspeakable. unspeakable in his wonderful life, unspeakable in his birth. A virgin who had never touched a man came holding in her arms the only baby who never had an earthly father. And let me say again, not only will I not sit across the table in a ministerial association from somebody who says my Savior is not perfect, but neither will I sit across the table from somebody who says that my Savior was not virgin born. He said he was virgin born. The Bible said he was virgin born. Holy Spirit said he was virgin born. If he was not virgin born, he was an illegitimate child. And don't you tell me to sit across the table from some imposter who calls my Savior an illegitimate child. Somebody called my mother that. You think I'd shake their hands and fellowship with them and dare call them a minister of God? Nobody's a minister of God that does not believe that Jesus is the virgin-born, sinless Son of God. He was unspeakable in his power, unspeakable in his glory, unspeakable in his perfection, unspeakable in his existence, unspeakable in his life, unspeakable in his birth. He was also unspeakable in his death. He placed all the sins of all the world on himself. Jesus didn't die to show us how to die. He died to pay the penalty for our sins to show us how to live forever. He placed all the sins of the world on himself and paid their penalty. He paid our ransom in full, became our substitute, and praise the Lord, he gift-wrapped justification, sanctification, glorification, propitiation, adoption, election, foreordination, reconciliation, and predestination in the gift package of eternity into one package and offered it to us as a gift, and then took his own blood and went inside the holy place in heaven and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Unspeakable was his death. It's unspeakable in his power, unspeakable in his existence, unspeakable in his life, unspeakable in his birth, unspeakable in his death. He was unspeakable in his resurrection. They placed his body in Joseph's borrowed tomb. Soldiers guarded that body. You can't guard the body of the Savior. They came on Sunday morning to see or to be near the body of the Savior. But the stone was rolled away. You listen to me, young people. Hey, young folks, listen while I'm preaching. The stone was rolled away. Not so he could get out, so they could see in. Death could not conquer him. The grave could not hold him. Satan could not defeat him. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives! He lives! Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives inside my heart tonight. Praise his name. You folks aren't excited, get excited. I first came to Hammond. Folks thought I had a little bit too much blood pressure. They kept talking about Brother Hiles is a little too wild. They said, we Northerners up here, we Yankees. You see, I came from Texas where Jesus was born. Don't kid me, boy. There's a town called Palestine, Texas. They said, you're a little too wild. One of the deacons took me to the basketball game up at the Civic Center. He who said I was too wild, our team was 1 point behind, and our basketball player, one of them, shot the basket and won by 1 point as the gun went off or the buzzer went off. And my deacon who said I was too wild raised up the hat of the fellow in front of him and said, whoopee! Pulled the hat down, the hat stopped on the head, and the brim came down to the neck. And I said, you're a little wild. I was up in Canada preaching in Barrie, Ontario, Canada. Up in Barrie, Ontario, Canada, they don't holler. They don't say amen. They don't say hallelujah. They just look at you. In fact, I'll be up here in 2 weeks, God willing. They just look at you. If you say something funny, they don't laugh. They just write ha-ha on a piece of paper. Say something sad, they don't cry. They write boo-hoo on the back of the ha-ha. I was preaching up in Berry when I got through preaching. The pastor stood up. I was at a convention. The pastor whose church we're using for the convention stood up and said, he said, Dr. Hiles is a little bit fiery. He said, you know how these Texans are. They're hot-blooded. He said, we Canadians feed it, but we don't show it. I said, I got up and said, that's not true. I've seen your hockey games on television. There's only one difference in First Baptist Church of Hammond and other churches. Bless God. We get as excited because Jesus lives as they do because Michael Jordan shoots a basket through the basket. Unspeakable. Unspeakable in his death. Unspeakable in his resurrection. After 3 days and three nights, he rose and then sent the Holy Spirit to earth to court our love. Unspeakable in his ascension, where he stands before the Supreme Court of the universe to plead my case, ever pointing to his own blood as the ransom that was paid. Unspeakable in his return. Jesus is coming. He gathered the disciples together in the upper room and said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, I will come again. Jesus is coming again. When he comes, he'll trade the foal of an ass for a white horse. He'll trade a condemned garment for a judge's robe. He'll trade a crown of thorns for a crown of glory. He'll trade a walking stick for a heavenly scepter. He'll trade a wooden cross for an eternal throne. He'll trade a soldier's overcoat for a regal robe. He'll come to trade a jeering mob for an adoring bride. He'll come to trade a cross bearing day for a coronation day. He'll come to train a gory day for a glory day. He'll come to train a crucify him, by the enemy, to an all hail the power of Jesus' name by his own people. Unspeakable in his coming. Unspeakable in his birth. Unspeakable in his life. Unspeakable in his death. Unspeakable in his resurrection. Unspeakable in his ascension. Unspeakable in his return to earth again. And then he's unspeakable in his reign on earth. I'd like to say a word to you politicians. You enjoy these offices you're getting elected to because we'll take them over one of these days. You see, when Jesus comes again, when he comes again, he himself is going to walk the steps of Mount Zion and become king of all the earth. And the Bible says that saints of God shall rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And Philpot, I'll be mayor of Hammond. And the first thing I'll do is fix those dirty holes out there on the corner. Unspeakable. And his reign is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. During that 1,000-year reign, swords shall be turned into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. The lion and the lamb will lie down together, and the lion and the wild animals will lose their danger, and the reptiles will lose their deadly venom. Little children shall get rattlesnakes for Christmas. I won't. I don't care if they don't hurt anymore. I don't like anything crawls on his stomach. I won't even pick up a baby that he can walk. Wild animals will become mild animals. Death will be so rare that when a man dies at the age of 100, folks will say, what a shame a little child passed away. Christians will rule and reign with him. He shall rule from Mount Zion. The knowledge of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Unspeakable in His power. Unspeakable in His birth, unspeakable in His life, unspeakable in His death, unspeakable in His resurrection. Unspeakable in His ascension. Unspeakable in His coming. Unspeakable in His reign on earth for 1,000 years. Unspeakable, listen carefully. He's unspeakable in His transforming power. He can take a demon-possessed Mary Magdalene and place her in resurrection's inner circle. He can take a crooked Zacchaeus and make him pay back his debts fourfold. Zacchaeus was an internal revenue director. You get one of those fellows right with God, it's a miracle. He can take a prostitute and make her pure, a drunkard and make him sober, an atheist and make him godly, a thief and make him honest, a blasphemer and make him preach. Take a harlot in the Old Testament and save her and put her in the hall of faith of Hebrews chapter 11. Take a maniac of Gadara and make him sane, make him murderer in the Apostle Paul and make him the great apostle. The greatest Christian that ever lived. He can take a murderer like Moses and make him lead the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt across the wilderness and to the door of the promised land. He can take a murderer like the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, and have him write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." I want to tell you tonight, if you want your life changed, don't go down to the psychiatrist or psychologist. You come to Jesus and let Jesus make you over again. Unspeakable in His transforming power. Years ago, Dr. George W. Truett, who pastored over 40 years at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, as an older man was sitting, real old man, probably 69, was sitting, that's real old, old enough to be smarter than you pipsqueaks over here in the bass section of the choir. But Dr. George W. Truett was sitting in his study on Saturday looking at his sermon for the next day. He had a little granddaughter there. She kept bothering him like little children often do. Just a little child, a little girl. She said, "Granddaddy, could I have a drink of water, please?" He said, "Honey, Granddaddy's trying to study for his sermon tomorrow. Would you leave me alone?" She said, "If you'll give me a drink of water, I'll leave you alone." Dr. Truett went over and got a drink of water and gave it to his granddaughter. And about 5 minutes later, she said, "Granddaddy, could I have another drink of water?" He said, "I told you I'm studying for my sermon, honey. I hope you won't bother me," she said, "Granddaddy." She said, "Just one more drink of water." And finally, Dr. Truett, after several times of giving her a drink of water, because 5 minutes to a child is an hour, as you know, he thought of an idea. He had a jigsaw puzzle of a map of the world in his office. He took that jigsaw puzzle of a map of the world, and he scrambled it all up, and he said, to his granddaughter, "Honey, do you like jigsaw puzzles?" And she said, "Yeah, I like jigsaw puzzles." He said, "Okay, would you put this one together? And when you put this one together, I'll give you a drink of water." But no little child can put the world together. Politicians can't even put the world together. But no little child can put the world together. Clinton can't do it. And I don't think Hillary can either. The little girl, she said, "Okay." Dr. Truett went back to his study. Said, "That takes care of that. It'll take care of for a long time to get that map put together." She came back within 5 minutes. Said, "Granddaddy, can I have a drink of water now?" He said, "Not until you get the map put together." She said, "The map is a jigsaw puzzle. It's put together." He said, "Who helped you?" She said, "Nobody, Granddaddy. Nobody. I did it by myself." "How did you do it?" She said, "It was easy. I found out there was a face of a man on the back of the jigsaw puzzle. I turned it over and put the man together. When I got the man right, the world pretty well took care of itself. And what this old nation of ours needs is to get men right." You can pass all the laws you want to pass. You can make all the gun control laws you want to make. Brother, if the America would get back to the Sunday school days and the old preaching days and the old Billy Sunday days and the Dwight Moody days and the old Tent Campaign days, where this Bible was the guidebook of our life and God was our Father and Christ was our Savior and heaven was our home and the coming of Jesus was our hope, America could be spared. But our nation will never get right till its people get right. Unspeakable in His transforming power. Now I want you to look for a minute in closing. But the closing's rather lengthy, so don't put your shoes on, ladies. Now look at the word gift. We've looked at the word unspeakable. Unspeakable, you can't describe the wonder of His birth. You can't describe the perfection of His life. You can't describe the vicarious death. You can't describe the miracle of the resurrection. You can't describe the miracle of the ascension. You can't describe the glory of His coming again. You cannot adequately describe the wonders of His reign on earth for 1,000 years. You cannot adequately describe what He does in the heart of a man when the man trusts the Savior and his life is transformed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's look at the word gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Hey, gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Not a salary gotten for work. Not a reward for success. Not a prize for a contest. Not a laurel for achievement. Not a stipend that is earned. Not a gratuity for a service rendered. Not a bonus given for faithful employment and longevity. Not a payment made for merchandise purchased. Not a remuneration for performance. But bless God, salvation is a gift. Jesus says, I want to give it to you. Now you listen carefully. I want to use this mic. Jesus says, I want to give it to you. You come to Him and say, Jesus, I want to buy it. He says, I'm sorry, you can't have it then. You come to Jesus and say, I want to join the church to get the gift of eternal life. And Jesus says, you can't have it. It's not for sale. It's a gift. But you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'd like to get baptized to eternal life. And Jesus said, you can't have it for baptism. It's a gift. But you say, Jesus, I want to get confirmed. And Jesus says, you can get confirmed, but I won't give you salvation for it, because that's a gift. If you've got to get baptized to get it, it's no gift. You've got to take the Lord's Supper to get it, it's no gift. If you've got to go to confession to get it, it's no gift. If you've got to get confirmed to get it, it's no gift. If you've got to take the sacraments to get it, it's no gift. If you've got to do anything but accept it, it's no gift. The Bible says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift cannot be earned, won, purchased, traded, bargained, bought, bartered, just taken. Now you listen carefully. If you ever get to heaven, you'll get to heaven because you'll simply take His gift. He won't trade it for your baptism. He won't swap it for your church membership. He'll not bargain over it for your confession. I can baptize you in that baptistry, give you the Lord's Supper myself, but that if that gets you to heaven, then salvation, not a gift. Didn't say thanks be unto God for His unspeakable reward. Didn't say thanks be to God for His unspeakable salary. He didn't say thanks be to God for His unspeakable prize. Didn't say thanks be to God for His unspeakable stipend. Didn't say thanks be unto God for His unspeakable tip. Didn't say thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gratuity. It said thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He said, "For the house. You mean all I got to do is take it? I don't mean that. The Bible means that. So you make it easy. I didn't make it at all. God made it. I'm just telling you what He said. If you want to earn something, you'll earn death. The wages of sin is death. But wages are never mentioned in the Bible concerning salvation. Never. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You accept it. Now listen carefully. That means if you come to a place in your life where you realize that you're a sinner, like all of us are, and you realize that because of sin, there's a price on that sin, and that price is death. Revelation chapter 20 talks about the second death, which is the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You say, Brother Hiles, my intellectual mind just can't accept the fact that there's a hell. It will. You see, the whole issue is not whether you can conceive of a hell or not. The whole issue is that book true or not? That's the whole issue. Now, to be quite frank with you, I'm going to brag on myself a little bit. I don't need to. My brilliance is obvious. When I went in the Army in World War II, or was that the Civil War? I've forgotten. When I went in the Army in World War II, I took my test with 500 men. Of 500 men, I had the highest IQ, 141. That was my IQ. It's now 275. But I had 141 IQ, the highest of all the 500 men. Then they gave us the mechanical aptitude test, and I had the lowest of all of the 500 men. But there's something in me that makes me not want to accept the fact that there's a hell. But the issue is not that. The issue is whether to accept this book or not. See, that's the issue. I have no right to say I'll accept what in this book makes sense to me. The issue is, do I accept the book or not? Now, there's something in my intelligentsia that makes me cringe that there could be such a place as hell. But I decided at Texas University in Arlington, Texas, on my knees nearly 50 years ago, when my mother had taught me that this book was the Word of God. And I went to the State University for a year, and they shook my faith in this book. And I decided to find out whether or not this book was the Word of God or not. I read this book through in 1 year on my knees. I mean, every word of this book I read on my knees, and every day I read it, I said, "Dear God, reveal to me whether or not this is your eternal Word." After I finished the last verse of Revelation, I jumped up and screamed as loud as I could, "Mama was right! It is the Word of God. So I have to take it." So if this Bible is true, if the Bible isn't true, let's all go home. Watch Oprah. If the Bible is true, all of us are sinners, and we're lost, and we have to pay the price for our sin or accept the price that Jesus paid. He paid the price. Now, if He paid the price, He has a right to offer it to me as a gift. Anybody in this room tonight will look up to God and say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know that Jesus paid the price on Calvary for my sins. And I mean it when I say I'm accepting your gift of eternal life. I'll promise you, He'll give it to you. I promise you, it'll be yours." You say, "Is it that simple?" Yep, it's that simple. It's accepting the gift. Well, you say, "Brother Howes, how about my life? What's going on?" When you accept the gift, God sends His Holy Spirit to live inside your body, and He starts to clean up on the inside. Thanks be to God for His two words tonight, unspeakable and gift. Tonight, if you're His child, go home and have a spell. Go home and think how good it is to be a child of God. Go home and think how wonderful it is to know if you die. Hey, look, I'm getting old. Thank God I'm going to heaven when I die. I mean, everybody I know is dead. But thank God tonight. Thank God there's a heaven. You say, "Brother Hiles, I won't go into that. But if you could buy it, what would you pay for it? What would you pay for it?" We have a house in Munster. Bought it 30 years ago, 33 years ago. Paid it out over a period of 30 years. We got it paid out. We got our home paid out at the same month. We got our crypt at the mausoleum paid for. I said to Ms. Hiles, "Brother, either way we go, we got it cared for." But it took us 30 years to pay off that house. Now, pray tell me, how can you pay off a home where the streets are paved with gold and the gates are pure pearl? There's nothing you could do to deserve it. For the house, I just feel like I don't deserve to go to heaven. You never will deserve to go to heaven. That's why you got to take it as a gift. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Unspeakable in His power. Unspeakable in His existence. Unspeakable in his birth. Unspeakable in his life. Unspeakable in his death. Unspeakable in his resurrection. Unspeakable in his ascension. Unspeakable in his coming again. Unspeakable in his reign on earth. Unspeakable in his transforming power. And it's an unspeakable gift. Take it tonight. Take it. Just look up to God and say, okay, if you want to give it to me, here I am. I'm taking it. I promise you, you go home with it. Say, how will I feel? Doesn't matter how you feel. You go home with it. He says it's a gift. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing. The choir's going to sing. We're going to stand. I want every one of you that's never received Christ, I want you to walk down this aisle and say, okay, if it's that easy, I'll take it. I'll take the unspeakable gift of God Almighty, which is salvation through His Son. And then, by the way, those of us who have it, we ought to tell the whole world about this unspeakable gift. Tell them it's free. Tell them you don't have to get baptized to get this gift. Tell them you don't have to join a church. Tell them it's not the Baptist way or the Methodist way or the Episcopalian way or the Assembly of God way or the Nazarene way. It's the gift of God. Tell them you don't have to take communion to get it. Tell them you don't have to take the sacraments to get it. Tell them Jesus offers it to you if you just take it as a gift. Shall we stand? The choir will sing, would you come? Come and say yes to Christ. Come and trust Him as your Savior. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. The choir sings, would you come as the choir sings.